Adam and Eve the ability to do good, and God, knowing what Pharaoh would do, does not negate Pharaoh's human free will and responsibility. God did not force Pharaoh to respond as he did. Now, getting back into the story, after saying no to Moses and hence no to God, Pharaoh made life miserable for the Israelites. You might remember that Pharaoh told the Israelites they had to make more bricks, but he would no longer give them the straw that they had been given before. So the Israelites became very upset with Moses, and Moses didn't know what to do. So God spoke to Moses. In chapter 7, we read this, "And the Lord said to Moses, see, I've made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people go, let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you." Now, in this verse, we again hear God saying he is going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So let's see what happens next. In Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 13, we read, "So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staves. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said." Now here we are told Pharaoh's heart was hardened, as God said. Now how did it happen? What did God do? What I want you to notice is that all God did was a sign to show Pharaoh his power. God's action was to make a stick turn into a snake to show Pharaoh his power. After seeing the sign, Pharaoh made the free will decision to have his magicians do the same trick. And when his magicians accomplished that feat, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, even though the snake that God had formed swallowed up all their snakes. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He would not listen to the Lord because he was prideful. He was confident of his own power as Pharaoh. So God was active in the situation. He was indeed active in the situation. But what I'm hoping you're starting to see is that his hands were off of Pharaoh. God's only action was to do a miracle that should have changed Pharaoh's mind. But Pharaoh was proud, and therefore his heart was hardened. Now let's look at what happens next. Later in chapter 7, we read about the first plague. The text says, "Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. He lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile, and all the water in the Nile turned into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt, but the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said." I simply ask you to notice from these verses that the same thing happened. God did a sign, a powerful miracle. The Egyptian magicians matched it by their secret arts. We're not sure what that means, but they matched it somehow, and we are told Pharaoh's heart remained hard. Now, before we move on in Exodus, think about this with me. This is now the third time God, through Moses, has asked Pharaoh to let the people go to worship him. Twice, God has shown his power to Pharaoh. And it's only on this third time that God has caused some discomfort for the people of Egypt. He brought upon them the first plague so that they could not drink from the Nile, and the fish in the Nile died, and they had to deal with the stench of that and everything. Not pleasant, but not fatal. I point that out because I want you to realize that God's actions are patient. He's giving Pharaoh plentiful opportunity to bend his knee and obey. And he's giving Pharaoh good reason to bend his knee, repent, and obey, showing Pharaoh his power. And please realize God did not have to do any of that. God would have been perfectly just to kill Pharaoh the first time Pharaoh said no, or even before that. So please understand, God is graciously being very patient with Pharaoh. He's showing Pharaoh again and again his power. He's calling Pharaoh to do what is right, but Pharaoh, by his own free will, continues to say no to God. And every time Pharaoh says no, it gets harder for him to say yes. That is the hardening. That's the hardening. Listen to this. The more you say no to God, and the more confidence you build up in yourself, the harder it is for your heart to say yes to God. The more you say no, the harder it is to say yes. Now, I'll read a couple more examples of what happened with Pharaoh, because this text is really interesting. Let's look at the second plague, which is frogs. I'm going to quickly summarize and tell you that God sent frogs upon Egypt. And again, the magicians copied the same act. The Egyptian magicians also sent frogs, which, of course, made even more frogs. I always have to wonder about that. It didn't seem very smart to me. They just created more frogs, more plague for themselves. There were frogs everywhere. And they could not get rid of them. They couldn't get rid of them. Because Pharaoh could not get rid of the frogs, he asked Moses to do so. And Pharaoh promised them that he would let them go. Moses told him the frogs will be gone, just as you asked, showing you that there is no God like God. And then starting in verse 13, we read this, the frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, and he hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Notice that here the text says Pharaoh again. Notice that the text here says Pharaoh hardened his heart. That's what I wanted to point out here. He hardened his heart. When the frogs were gone, Pharaoh hardened his heart. That's what this text tells us. And this is not the only time we read in this Exodus event of Pharaoh hardening his heart. Sometimes as you read through Exodus, we read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And sometimes as you read through the Exodus event, we read that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And sometimes the text simply says his heart was hardened. The text can say it all of those ways because both God and Pharaoh were active in this situation, but they were active in very different ways. God's actions were kind and gracious and just. God had the right to send plagues. That was his justice. And every plague gave Pharaoh the opportunity to repent. In the passage on the screen, we see God do what the Egyptian magicians could not do. He got rid of the frogs. God showed his power to Pharaoh. That was a gracious, kind act. Pharaoh's actions, on the other hand, were always sinful. Pharaoh hardened his heart and went back on his word. He would not let the people go. What the whole of the Exodus event teaches us is that God hardened Pharaoh's heart by being patient, kind, just, think of the plagues, that's justice, and good. God knew Pharaoh would respond wrongly to all of his righteous actions. God, who is omniscient, knew that when he acted with grace and patience and displayed his power with justice, he knew Pharaoh would sin. God didn't make Pharaoh sin, but God knew Pharaoh would respond sinfully to his acts of grace and patience. So when God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, what he was saying is this, I'm going to do something kind and gracious, and I know how Pharaoh will respond. I know Pharaoh will respond by hardening his own heart, and the more I patiently display my power to Pharaoh, the more his heart's going to become hard. And that's what continues to happen throughout all of the plagues. There are 10 plagues, as you probably know, meaning God gave Pharaoh ample opportunity to repent and obey. He gave Pharaoh ample opportunity to bend his knee, but Pharaoh would not do so. I'm going to read you one more text showing what God did, simply because it's an awesome text. And this is my personal favorite text of the whole Exodus plagues. It's the account of the third plague. After Pharaoh saw God remove the frogs, which the magicians could not do, we read this with the third plague. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. What I love about this passage is that Pharaoh's magicians come to him and say, "This is the finger of God. We cannot copy what is happening. We do not understand this. Only God can do this. This is the finger of God." Now that should have awakened Pharaoh, right? His own magicians told him, "This is God." But it didn't awaken Pharaoh. Because of his pride, because of his confidence, his authority as Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. Again and again, that's what we see in the Exodus event. Dear friends, please realize that the Lord gave time for Pharaoh to repent. The Lord displayed his power for Pharaoh to repent, and the Lord sent his word warning Pharaoh very clearly that they needed to repent and heed his word, "Let my people go." Those are the acts God did to harden Pharaoh's heart, which means God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart by sinning and making Pharaoh sin. God hardened Pharaoh's heart through patience, through kindness, through just plagues. That's what Romans 9 is talking about when it says God hardens whom he will harden. God is not guilty of sin because he hardens by patience, by kindness, by justice. Now, seeing that in the Exodus event and reading of it in Romans chapter 9, we need to move beyond academic theology to our response. We need to take what we're learning and consider what's going on in our heart. Let me point out that this very night, we have read of God's power. We have read of what God did in Egypt. In that way, we in this room, we've been confronted with the power of God. And that confrontation should make us bow our knee, just as it should have made Pharaoh bow his. Hearing me say that, one of you might respond to me by stating, "Well, you know, there's a difference between seeing something firsthand as Pharaoh did and reading about it in some old text." You might say that to me. You might go on and say, "Now, if I could see firsthand a stick turn into a snake, well, then I would believe." Or you might say, "If I could see a plague of gnats by the command of a spokesperson for God, well, I would believe." But when we just read about it, that's not the same. You might say that to me, but I can tell you with absolute confidence that is not true. Do you know why I can say that with confidence? Because Jesus himself said so. Jesus said so. Do you remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man that Jesus told? I won't read the whole story. I'll summarize part of it. Lazarus was a poor, sick man. begging for food on the streets. The rich man walked past him every day, did nothing for Lazarus. Jesus explains what happened when both of them died. They both died at the same time. Jesus explains what happened. The rich man was sent to Hades to be tormented. Lazarus went to what we call heaven, to Abraham's side. The rich man was told he could not be comforted in the place of torment, and he was told he would never get out of the place of torment, which are frightening words. Now, after hearing those frightening words, the rich man makes one last request. We read this in the Gospel of Luke. And he, the rich man, said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him, to send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent." And he said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Now, Jesus told that story to make it known that there is no difference between seeing a miracle with your eyes and hearing a miracle from Moses written in the Holy Word of God. If you will not be amazed at God's power and know that He is the one true living God by reading through Moses' writings of what He did in Egypt, you will not be amazed and believe in God even if someone you personally know rises from the dead and comes into your home and warns you of hell. You won't believe that if you won't believe what Moses wrote. That's what Jesus says. So again, I point out to you that this very evening, we've been confronted with the awesome power of God. Just like Pharaoh was confronted with the power of God, so have you been. And so you need to consider now how you are responding to God. Don't just toy around with academics of how election and reprobation work. We Reformed people are good at our theology. We love our theology, but we can get to academic. Don't stop with the academics. Look at your heart before God. Where are you at with God Almighty? How are you responding to Him? That's the question. You have been confronted this evening with the power of God. And for most, if not all of you, this is not the first time, is it? Most of you have been in these pew many times. I see you there every week. Most of you are here this morning. I would say most of us in this room have been coming to church, maybe not this church, but we've been coming to church for at least 30 years, many of us longer than that. That's a lot of time. And those of you who are children and teenagers, you've probably been coming to this church your whole life. That's a lot of time as well. And the point is that we have had a lot of time to repent and follow Christ. See, that's the patience of God. He's given us, every one of us in this room, He's given us time to repent, lots of time. And when we come to church, we hear the Word of God. We not only hear of God's power from His Word, we hear Christ call us to Himself. We hear of all of His wonderful promises. We hear He will forgive our sins. This morning we saw a sign and seal, the sign and seal of communion regarding the forgiveness of our sins. And we also hear God's warnings to us as well. Tonight we are all hearing a warning regarding how our hearts become hard. Our hearts become harder and harder when over time we continue to hear God's word, hear of his power, hear of his warnings, hear of his promises, his gracious promises, and we refuse to repent and follow him. So the right response is repent right now. If you've been saying no to God, well don't say no again. Repent now. That's the response. Listen to this. A wrong response to the doctrine of election and reprobation is becoming apathetic. Saying to yourself, well, it's all up to God. You are present this evening hearing the word of God. Your responsibility is to say yes to God. Now, it is God who graciously moves the heart to do so. We've learned that truth as well. It is God alone, who graciously moves the heart to do so. That's absolutely true. We've looked at that truth. That's what election is all about. It's God who moves the heart to do so. But that does not negate your responsibility. If you've been saying no to God, it's time for you to say yes. That's the right response. It only comes by the grace of God. We've gone over that truth. It will only come by the grace of God. But God is at work tonight through his word. And the right response to everything we've looked at this evening is to say yes to God. Bow your knee, repent, and follow him. That's the response. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your word, which does teach us of what you do, what you have done, which reveals to us your power, your miracles, reveals to us that you are God and there is no other, there is none like you. We thank you that you have revealed to us that you are sovereign over all things. We thank you that you have revealed to us your grace and your mercy, your promises. And we thank you, Father, that you have shown us in your word what happens in our hearts. And I pray that right now, tonight, you would be merciful and move our hearts in the way that only you can. Move our hearts to respond well to what we have heard this evening. May we always say yes to you. May we always say yes to you. May we all say yes this night. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.